Hello? Hello? Can you hear me? Is this thing working?
Is this on? Is this on?
Oh, right. Testing. I've just blown the cobwebs off it, and I think we're working. Anyway, hello?
Hello? Is that you, Steve?
It is.
Is that you?
Is that?
Welcome to The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Planetverse, episode number 60. We have been kept apart long enough. We've had Steve in a straitjacket long enough. He's escaped from the sanatorium. Steve, are you there? Have you wiped off the cobwebs?
It's good to see you on the picture again.
Yes, not cringing and hiding in some Eastern European corner bar.
Gulag, yeah, or something.
Nice to be back. I miss my friend. Nice to see you, friend.
Mm. So, what are we
enough
talking
of that.
About
All
today?
Right.
enough of the comedy. We have a serious matter to discuss.
Very serious. Serious. Stop laughing, Steve. It's serious.
Mm.
So, today, we are actually going to pick up a topic that was requested on the Planarology Facebook group, where over 40 people said that they were interested in finding out about functional planning. And thank you to whoever added that, because that wasn't in the original list of questions of which podcast would you like to hear or which topic would you like to hear on the podcast. So today we're going to be discussing functional planning. And what does that mean? That means that we're going to discuss long-term versus short-term planning and the differences between those two and how we can achieve them in our planners and what needs to happen so that when we open our planners at any given point, we can actually determine what state of the functional plan we're looking at. Because a plan isn't a plan until it's functional. Right, Steve?
Mm. So you're in full control of what's going to happen next.
Well, isn't that the point you were just saying to me? People are carting these things around. Might as well have a reason for carting it around, not just for decor.
Well, that has its place in life, I'm sure. But it can't be just purely for decoration. You'd have an artist's sketchbook if you were in that sort of mode and it wasn't a planner.
Right. And I think what we're talking about here is actually having a planner, not a planner masquerading as a sketchbook.
Yeah.
Because then there wouldn't be the question of what to do with it. We would know it's a sketchbook. And so the question then arises, how do we start functional planning? And what, in fact, is functional planning? And to break it down in basic terms, I think Mr. Morton has agreed with this basic definition that I gave to him earlier, which is that long-term planning, simply put, allows us to achieve a specific mission.
Mm.
Whereas short-term planning allows us to create value, or the purposes of it is to create value towards that specific mission.
Sounds good to me.
So that you're adding, see, I told you he'd agree with me. I thought it was wrong once, but I was mistaken. So the idea is that in the short-term plan, you're creating milestones and you're creating results that add, when cumulatively added, can give the purpose and the mission its final hurrah, right?
Mm.
It will give definition and it will have either achieved the mission or it will have not achieved the long-term specific mission.
You can have, for instance, you can have several sort of long-term goals or, you know, grand projects, grand ideas, call them what you want, really. But your aim really is to sort of look at how you're actually going to achieve those things. There might be things that are in the next year you want to do something, in the next 2 years you want to do something, in the next 5 years, or whatever sort of time division you're looking at, but they all might be sort of running sort of in parallel, and some of them might be dependent on others and such like. So we have to sort of think in sort of, right, so what do I need to get this done before I can start on doing this second thing?
If they're parallel projects, unless they could be consecutive.
Right, they can be sequential or parallel.
Correct. And I know a lot of my clients, when they ask me, because this comes into play when we're dealing with career as well.
Mm.
And one of the big questions that comes up is, how do we set up specific career goals for ourselves so that we can distinguish between long-term and short-term goals. And I usually like to determine that a short-term goal should be between 6 months and 1 year, as far as careers go.
Yeah.
Because on the broader perspective, a short-term goal for someone maybe in a household goal shouldn't take 6 months to achieve, right? If you just want to wash some dishes,
no.
for example, or tidy up the kitchen, shouldn't take 1-6 months. But on a career spectrum, 6 months to 1 year is, in fact, a short term, whereas 5 years or more would be considered a long-term range for careers.
You've actually sort of just said something that's triggered off a thought, that washing the dishes, for instance, that's a routine task, isn't it? That really
right.
shouldn't be part of your, well, it is part of your planning per se, but that's the sort of, if you like, the background tasks that are always there and always need doing sort of thing, you know, like eating, sleeping and sort of going to work.
Right. Well, in terms of if your goal, if your long-term goal was to tidy up the kitchen, then I would think that washing the dishes
oh, yeah.
would be one of the short-term goals that you would add
yeah.
that in that context. So yeah, it is something that you consistently have to keep up with. And so that's what one of the things that I appreciate about our planners is that we have tabs.
Mm.
And this is where tabs come into play for me. What I like to do is at the beginning of the year usually, or at the end of the year, depending on which month you catch me in, whether it's on the tail end of December or the early end of January, I like to go ahead and plan out what my functional planning is, which is my long-term planning for that year.
Yeah.
So if I have any goals that I'd like to achieve, personal goals, or if I have any household things that need to be accomplished as far as projects, those can all get added and included in two separate tabs. And then once we have the project highlighted, kind of like your thesis statement for your essay, yeah. Once you know what the project is about, what your goal is, then you can go ahead and start itemizing the individual steps that you're going to need, break it down, and then reverse plan them into your calendar. That to me is the basic functional planning. Would you agree,
yeah,
Steve?
I've always said whenever you've got, you know, a big task ahead and you just don't know where on earth you're gonna, you know, that's the ultimate goal that you're trying to achieve. But you think, how on earth am I ever gonna complete this, you know, monstrous task sort of
behemoth
thing.
Of a task, yeah.
yeah. You know, it just, you know, you just look at the thing and thinking, crikey, you know, which way up. It's like trying to climb a mountain. Yeah, it's there. I want to get to the top of the mountain, but there's so many different ways of doing it. Sometimes you might have to come back again and retrace your route sort of thing. But if you break down a large task or a project like that into sort of smaller, manageable bits where you can sort of do something, finish something, learn from that task, which will then benefit you on the next step of the journey, as it were, it all becomes much more achievable. And, you know, you start to then start to make progress, and you start off in little baby steps at first. And you might then discover that, something I've learned to this point on the journey, I can improve on what I was planning to do later on. And of course, you start to speed up the whole process speeds up, and then you learn that, well, it could go either way, of course. It could mean that it is going to take you longer than you originally thought.
Right.
And so, well, okay. But at least you've known it earlier on in the process that, no, that's not quite achievable in the time frame you originally thought of. And, you know, in a work situation, you can go and say, look, we need more time. Or if you want it done
right.
in the same time, what can I
hire
miss
more
out?
Workers, you know, that sort
yeah.
of thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Can I have some more monkeys,
well,
please?
The same. Again, it's all on a career basis when we start thinking about, for me it is, because this is what I do for a living, is I help people get jobs. And one of the issues that comes across early on is people try to think that they need to cram as much information as they can into a resume. And unfortunately, that's not the way it works, right? You're not supposed to hand a document over to a hiring manager and have them pick what you think they may want to see. The idea is to tailor your resume to what the hiring manager wants to see. And one of the ways that I do that is I tell my clients, right now your goal is not to get a job. Right now your goal is to get the interview.
Yeah.
So you shoot for the 25-meter target before you shoot for the 50-meter target. And I think this is what functional planning allows us to do, is that short-term goal allows you to focus and have very clear, crystal clear focus on what you're trying to achieve. But you've already highlighted which one of those or which milestones are going to, how many milestones, for example, it's going to take for you to get to your final goal. And if you're crystal clear focused on each one of those milestones, you won't worry that you have 100 milestones in front of you. You will just worry about what's in front of you right now. And that adds fantastic clarity, task, purpose, and motivation to being able to get something off your desk and done, or whatever it is that you're dealing with. If you're dealing with weight loss, if you're dealing with somebody wants to cone muddy their house and they don't know where to start, well, this is how you start. You come up with the goal, right? So the big mission, specific mission would be, let's cone muddy the house. Great. And so then you would create tabs for each one of the categories that she has laid out for you and then start going through them. And maybe the first thing would be to take an inventory of every single piece of clothing that you own. Or if you can't gather them all up in one place, you would start with the first closet and move from there.
Yeah, so I think some people often get... they stall, if you like, on trying to decide what's short-term and what's long-term. Well, really, the two are different. But sometimes the long-term plan is made up a lot of short-term items that make up that long-term plan. And,
right.
And so, you know, you actually sort of can think, well, actually, that big long-term goal really is, you know, this, and this. And as long as you've made a note of what things that you've actually got to do, maybe even in a sort of sketchy sort of format, the sort of further away time-wise things, then, you know, you can fill in the details the closer you, as they're sort of coming down the track at you sort of thing. So you need to have more details in your planner or whatever to know how to, you know, complete each one sort of thing. And record that you've actually done these things as well.
I think that's very important. A lot of people tend to not give themselves credit and not record what has actually already occurred. Because it seems like, well, look how many more milestones are left to be reached. And so why bother marking off or taking the time to record what's been done already? And I think that's a great disservice, not only to the overall project, but to the psychological self trying to go forward with this project. I know that the Mortons have an annual legacy of hedge trimming that happens over at Casa Morton.
Yes.
And I know that on an annual basis, Steve says, I'm preparing the world. We're starting the plan to get these hedges
hedge
in
cut,
order.
Which is normally
annual hedge
world.
Cut. Yeah. I think the entire neighborhood knows about this now. But wouldn't you consider that to be the bigger mission that you have planned for yourself, which is to cut the hedges, right?
Yeah.
But then you break it down into two, three-day activities.
Well, it takes more.
How many days does it take you?
Sometimes up to about... The actual overall time it takes is about 3 weeks, but I'm not continually doing cutting every day in that 3 weeks. So I allow for most of August to do it in, but I allow for the fact that I might only do it every other day, or, you know, I might do a couple of days and then break off for a couple of days. But even within those days, I only work maybe 2 or 3 hours because it's just too hard to work.
That's so valuable. That's so valuable what you said. A lot of people think that a project once started has to be worked on 24 hours a day. You know, you just head first, head down, go for it, get it. And then what happens is you end up burning out.
Yeah.
And so I think it's lovely that you've included downtime. You've budgeted time for yourself because you know it's an arduous task.
Yes.
And so what you've done is you've cleverly said to yourself, I could get this done in 2 days and be dead at the end of 2 days. Or I can get this done over the course of 3 weeks and still have a happy marriage at the end of the 3 weeks.
I think it's about 180 odd meters of hedge to cut in total, because you've got all of the outside, all of the top. Well, you can only do the top halfway in. You can't do the full top. And then you have to go, once you've got to one end, it's turn around and start again on the inside and do the other side of the top on the inside sort of thing. So it's it's completely nuts. But I've done it now. I don't know how many times we've done it. Since about 2006, I think, was the first time we did it, or 2007, most probably. So, you know, it must be, this will be the sort of 10th year of doing it, I suppose. But, you know, for instance, the first day of doing anything, I know I'm not going to get a lot cut because I've got to get the trailer out, empty the trailer, get that outside, get all the stuff sorted out. So
That would be a milestone. Yeah. That would be a milestone. For those that are following this in terms of what's the project and what's the long-term and short-term goals, day one short-term goal would be get the trailer out and empty it.
Yeah.
Right? And then I would think day two would be start pulling the equipment that you need and start maybe getting about an hour's worth of cutting in.
Yeah. Well, I normally sort of cut for about a couple of hours or so. Plus you annoy the hell out of the neighbors if you're at it all day long.
I thought that was the point, Steve.
Maybe we should go for
4 weeks this year. No?
No, it's fairly physical, and I'm not used to doing physical work these days, let's be honest. Plus, it's blooming hot work to do, and you're just constantly...
In August.
Yeah. It's sort of quite tiring on the arms with a big hedge cutter. And yeah, I've got that to look forward to. I just can't wait to get started.
You see, this is what happens when you have a functional plan. You can't wait to get to it. Have you got it noted in your planner?
Oh, it's down for August, not before. Because if I do it any earlier, the damn hedge starts growing again before the end of the year. And what looked nice and tidy is just ruined. In fact,
it's like a wily child whose hair never stops growing. You know,
fortunately, it only needs cutting once a year. Well, that's the only amount of cutting it does get is once a year.
Well done. But in this case, I think, okay, so this would be like a household goal that you can add, and perhaps add that to your annual list of tasks that need to be done around the house, emptying the gutters, cleaning out the filters, that sort of thing. And so that would be on a home basis. On a business level, there's so many other long-term specific missions that need to be accomplished. So whether you're an entrepreneur or whether you're working in your own in somebody else's company, there has to be at some point a meeting where they say, okay, team, here's what the mission is for the year. And so at that point, that would be the overall long-term goal. And then hopefully the work that's being accomplished throughout the year is meeting the milestones that align with that mission.
The other important one to take into account is that it might not be your long-term goal. It might be the long-term goal of your family or the company you work for. So you might not be the actual owner of this thing. You might be just part of a team. And therefore, whilst you need to take into account what you're contributing to and what have you, you're going to end up, you'll delegate something or something will be delegated to you as part of that goal. So you've got a package of work, if you like, fits into this overall equation, if you like, jigsaw, call it what you want. But you can still micromanage that bit of work in the same way as you would the overall thing. You can still break that small part of the jigsaw.
Do you have an actual example of that?
Well,
let's
say, refurbishing a building or something like that. Well, within refurbishing a building, you've got all sorts of bits. You've got the structure of the building. You've got the electrics within the building. You've got the IT, and you've got, you know, the water and finishings and all this sort of thing. So not everyone's going to be responsible for doing all of that. You're going to have different specialists doing different parts of that job at different times. Some of them can overlap. You know, the guy who's doing the IT can work on, you know, putting in cable, and at the same time the electrician's putting in cable, because it's, you know, possibly, you know, around the roof space or wherever. So yes, you're going to have to talk to other people. You can't do it in total isolation. You do have to talk to other people when you're trying to do these
Dang
things.
Dang it, I thought that was the whole point of being an introvert.
But
you ruined my mission here.
It all helps that the fact that you are a planner and the fact that you are good at doing your planning ahead of time will help you know, right, this is when I've got to step up to the plate and know what I've got to get done and when it's got to be done by, because there's some guy coming up behind with something else that's going to go into this.
Right, that fits into the overall plan.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk nuts and bolts then, Steve. How do we set this up? What do you suggest as far as a basic planner layout so that we can get visibility on the project as we're progressing and at the same time maintain sanity over the everyday mundane stuff that we've got to keep track of? So, for example, I use a weekly spread, a column spread from Filofax that has just, you know, the whole week on two pages. And so I find that usually goes very well with programming the things that I'd like to get done during that day, but how do I maintain visibility on what progress I'm making towards the goal or towards the milestone, or both?
Well, you can use sort of like Gantt charts, can't you, and things like that for, you know, project planning, which is, towards all the intents and purposes, not much different to a normal sort of horizontal year planner. So on the year planner, you can have literally a line that says, right, the project...
Yeah, those fold-out years planners that
so
they have, right?
You've got a start point, you've got a finish point. Well, that's the overall plan. You can then divide that up into different colours, maybe, for the different parts of your task or project or whatever. But then if the bit you're responsible for is only one of those sort of subdivided bits, you can then pull that bit apart even into more detail, maybe down into sort of some sort of monthly planner. And again, you've then got more detail in that, and you've got more space to play around with on a monthly sort of view.
Yeah.
And then, you know, once you've gone... You know, you've got some idea of, right, so you've now got your section of the job, which might be five bits of things to do within that, say, 7-week period or whatever. Then that's when you then go down to sort of, you know, the weekly end of things, and maybe even dailies even, as far as, you know, it depends. I don't like breaking it down into too many different sort of inserts, because... There's too much.
You can get lost in the shuffle,
and
you
end up being a slave to the different bits of paper, rather than.
And that's not the point of all of this. The point of all of this is to relieve you of having to think about what's going on, and that's why we're writing things down. I kind of like the idea of having the monthly chart, for example. So in my head, what I'm seeing now is the horizontal yearly planner. With, let's say, if I'm going to take your hedge activity as the example, I would block out the 3 weeks in August, let's say in green, of the time
Very
that you're going to be spending.
For a little hedge.
You like that, right? I thought so. And then we can use a lighter yellow and yellow as you get closer to the end so that you're fizzling out, right? And so I would mark out on the horizontal yearly calendar those days and clearly identify that color as having the annual hedge cutting ceremony. And then what I would do then in the month of August, though, I would break down on day one, the trailer comes out. On day two, the tools come out. On day three, we take a break. On day four, right?
Yeah.
And so that would be nice, because then that monthly calendar won't interfere with the weekly daily stuff that I have going on, right?
That's right.
My dailies, doctor's appointments and dentist appointments. And I don't know why I've got so many health appointments, but I do. I'm a very healthy person, Steve. So that would be one way of doing it, is to identify the type of calendar you're using and then give it a role and have that calendar maintain its role throughout the year, so that when you do look at your monthlies, you know that you're only looking at projects for that month.
Yeah.
And you can have multiple projects running at the same time. So you can have a house project working alongside a business project. And you can clearly identify them by the color that you associate with that particular project. And again, this comes down to contextualizing again. For me, it's all the same with the context. The short-term goals or the milestones for me would be the contexts. In which context are you getting these things done? Are you outside making calls? Are you, yeah.
There's no reason why you can't use more than one set of monthly inserts either.
That would drive me nuts, though. How do you do that?
Well, you could have, a sort of month view as your normal sort of domestic and personal life, and a month view for your work environment. And that keeps the two separate.
So you would use tabs then to identify
Yeah.
one set of monthly inserts as personal and the other set
Yeah.
as projects.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a bad idea. I quite like that. Look, Steve, you've given me an idea
Well,
today.
also, it doesn't actually, if you think about it, a month on one page, for argument's sake, it's only six sheets of paper at the end of the day in
Yes.
your planner. So it's not going to take up a huge wodge of ring space, is it? Or
That's right.
booklet space, as the case may be. You can have, if you're using sort of travelers notebook type thing, you can have separate booklets,
Yeah.
and it's quite easy to flip from one to the other. Also, it keeps it personal as well. If you're involved in a work sort of scenario where you're not allowed to sort of take your work stuff home with you and you have to leave it at work, then keeping the two separate like that does, it solves that problem as well then, doesn't it?
And then once you're complete with those traveler's notebooks, you can file them
Can
for
they
posterity
can be go
because.
going into the project file and everybody, it's there
Yeah.
for record keeping as well.
Right. That's a nice way of doing things.
And you
I can
haven't
see how
got
a traveler's notebook then would be valuable to keeping home records
And then you
as
haven't got the
opposed to
problem if your
rings.
personal life is all in some work file in a company you might have left 5 years ago or something.
But the work is the work, right? It doesn't really matter who did it, so long as someone can go back and find, who's the guy that didn't add 2 + 2 correctly? Yeah, we'll find him. So what kind of advice would you give our listeners, Steve, as far as getting their heads wrapped around is functional planning, long-term and short-term planning?
I'd like to sort of think of, you might sort of don't give up on something if it doesn't work out exactly as you thought it would the first time you use a particular layout or whatever it is. It always takes us, all of us, some time to sort of get into using a new sort of setup and what have you. But don't give up, don't give it some time. Give it 2 or 3 weeks to sort of to explore, to see what does work, what doesn't work, and sort of balance out, or try and find out what it is that's not working correctly. Is it the size of the page is not right, or the layout is not right, or something? And basically, don't change too many things too quickly, because then you've got too many variables happening, and you don't know what was the main cause of the failure, as it were.
I think that's good advice, and I'm just going to add to that a little bit or tweak what you just said. If you are going to start a project, don't get caught up in the details of it and then forget to take action. Because I've seen a lot of people do that with their planners, is they get very excited about setting it up. They start setting it up, and then something doesn't work, and they end up having a complete planner failure. Don't just try not to get wrapped up into those little details. If something small hasn't worked, make a little change and push forward. Push forward with the uncomfortableness of having a planner that's not working for you just yet. But it may work for you if you give it some time. And I really like Steve's idea of budgeting in time for having downtime. And I think that's what we all ought to do with some of our expectations of ourselves when it comes to what we're going to achieve. We would all like to achieve all of our goals right now, yesterday, if we could. But it doesn't work like that, does it? And
No.
we've got to be kinder to ourselves and allow for that human aspect to come through.
It also makes a lot of sense to actually sort of back off slightly from the thing before you go diving in. You know, sort of take five and sort of think, right, have I got the right thing that I'm going to get started on, or is should I be doing this or should I be doing that? Weigh it up before you get started, otherwise you end up going around in circles.
Intelligent words from our own Steve Martin. Where can we find you, Steve?
I am still working on filofaxi.com and travelersnotebooktimes.com and still lurking around and posting pictures like it's going out of fashion on the Instagrams as Mr. Farlafaxi. And you, dear friend.
And you can find me stalking Steve on Instagram at Karina Tovmasyan and on the Facebooks with Planarology. We're around.
And remember, folks, if you've liked this podcast, please like it, subscribe to it, and share it.